Chapter 10. Preparations for an accident. A week later, Bobby had joined Badger in London. Frankie wrote that she had a plan and he was to do nothing until he heard from her. This was welcome advice, since Bobby was kept busy undoing the mess that Badger had already made of the business. Meanwhile, the effect of being given 8 grains of morphia was making Bobby extremely suspicious of food and drink, and had also persuaded him to bring to London a gun, which he'd got in the Navy. He was just beginning to feel that the whole thing had simply been a nightmare when Frankie's Bentley finally stopped outside the garage. Frankie was driving, and beside her sat a rather gloomy-looking young man.
"Hello, Bobby," said Frankie. "This is George Arbuthnot. He's a doctor, and we shall need him."
"Aren't you being a bit pessimistic?" Bobby asked.
"Look here," said Frankie. "I've got everything planned. We want a car to crash, and one of yours will do."
"She means," George Arbuthnot said, "that she's going to have an accident."
"How does she know?" said Bobby wildly.
Frankie gave an annoyed sigh.
"Now just listen, Bobby. Bassington French lives at Merriway Court at Staveley in Hampshire, which belongs to his brother, with his brother and his wife."
"Whose wife?"
"The brother's wife. I've made a plan. Lady Frances Derwent, driving her car dangerously, crashes into the wall near the gates of Merriway Court. Lady Frances is carried to the house, suffering from concussion and shock, and must not be moved for 2 or 3 days.
"Who says so?"
"George. George is passing, sees the accident, jumps out of his car, makes his examination, says what's wrong with her, and goes away."
"And where do I come in?" Bobby asked.
"You don't. My dear child, Bassington French has met you already, but he doesn't know me. But I am a lady, and therefore highly respectable. And George is a real doctor, so everything is quite above suspicion."
"And I don't do anything at all?" asked Bobby. He felt like a dog whose bone has been taken away.
"Of course you do, darling. You grow a moustache."
"Oh, do I? Once I've got the moustache, what do I do?"
"Put on a chauffeur's uniform and drive the Bentley down to Staveley."
Bobby looked more cheerful.
"Nobody looks at a chauffeur in the way they look at a person," said Frankie. "I'd bet anything that seeing you in a chauffeur's uniform with a moustache, Bassington French wouldn't recognise you. Now tell me, what do you think of the plan?"
"It's pretty good," Bobby said generously.
"In that case," said Frankie briskly, "let's buy a car."
They entered the garage, where a young man with an agreeable smile greeted them with a rather silly laugh.
"Ho, ho, ho! Hello, Badger," said Bobby. "You remember Frankie, don't you?"
Badger clearly didn't, but he said,
"Ho, ho, ho!"
again, in a friendly way.
"Frankie wants to buy a car," said Bobby. "Well, come and look at what we've got in stock," said Badger.
"They look very smart," said Frankie,
amazed by their extremely bright colours.
"That Chrysler is very good value," said Badger. "No," said Bobby. "Whatever she buys has got to go at least 40 miles an hour.
Badger looked at his partner unhappily.
"The standard isn't wonderful," said Bobby, "but I think it would just get you there."
"All right," said Frankie. "I'll have the standard."
Badger took Bobby to one side.
"What do you think about the price?" he whispered. "I don't want to charge a friend of yours too much. £10?
£10 is all right," said Frankie. "I'll pay for it now."
"Who is she really?" asked Badger in a loud whisper.
Bobby whispered back.
first time I ever knew anyone with a title who is prepared to pay cash, said Badger with respect. They usually expect to put everything on an account.